The Comic Source presents the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Comic Source presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. This is episode number 6. We're going to be talking about Witchblade issue 6. From June 1996. Writers, David Wall, Christina Z, Michael Turner. Pencils by Michael Turner. Inks once again by D-Tron. And colors handled by Jonathan D. Smith. Just another quick reminder, if you want to follow along with us on our travel through time, looking back at the history of the Top Cow universe, you can go to comicvine.com, do a search there, for Condor's Top Cow Chronology. That's K-O-N-D-O-R-R. Also, if you want to follow along with us reading Witchblade, my suggestion is to go to either Comixology and buy them digitally, or if you prefer the trade, instocktrades.com. You can get the trade paperback for less than $9 plus shipping. And also, I should mention you can find all this information on our website.
TheComicSourceBlog.com. And while you're there, you can also check out the sketch gallery. There should be a convention coverage page going up soon with coverage from Long Beach Comic Expo. Likewise, there will be a special podcast episode coming up focused on Long Beach Comic Expo, and also a few episodes on my YouTube channel with some creator interviews.
All right, I'm here with my co-host Manny. I'm Jace. And let's get your thoughts on issue 6, Manny. Overall, what'd you think?
I liked it. It's one of the few issues we've read so far that from start to finish I really say I enjoyed it. I got a little bit more about Sarah, her feelings, the way she thinks. We also learned a little bit more on Kenneth Iron's obsession I found myself really liking the attention to detail to this particular issue.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was one of the stronger issues so far also. What's interesting is how much we both enjoyed this issue, and I will say without question, this issue had the least amount of action of any of the issues, including issue 1.
Yeah, that is true.
But heavy on the characterization, really advanced the story. So in that way, this one perhaps reads the least like a 90s comic out of all of them. Still plenty of beautiful art by Michael Turner, plenty of splash pages and interesting layouts, but much more dialogue, much more exposition, a lot more answers, so therefore a much more satisfying read.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was really nice to see all her feelings throughout the first few pages, because we start in her partner's funeral, and I mean, there's so much... so many things going through her head, and the writing here is done really well, so that, you know, it really shares all her thoughts, what's going through her mind, thinking about him, thinking about all the other officers, what they're going to be doing afterwards. I found it funny in a way, where she says, "Why couldn't it have been raining?" She almost wishes that the funeral was a little bit more dramatic for him. And, it was really nice. Really nice to get more into the way she thinks and really see how much she really cares for her friends, her family.
Yep, agree totally. All right, let's get through the synopsis. As Manny said, it starts out at the funeral of Michael Yee. Sarah's lost in her thoughts. Yes, she wishes it were raining. It would suit the mood of her somber mood much more so than the sunshine. Thinking about everything she's gone through. Should she be crying? She's trying to be strong, be like steel, because she thinks that's what her former partner would have liked. We learn through her sort of a little mini confrontation with Selzer, who continues to be nothing but a complete jackass.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Talking about how great she looks. Tell me your rejuvenation secrets. Maybe you should have tried some of those on your partner. She sees her chief, Joe Suri. kind of rescues her from Seltzer's buffoonery. And we also learn that she's still technically on leave, even though she's clearly running her own investigation. We also see that Jake has yet to have that talk that he wants to have with her. We see him and Seltzer get into it a little bit. Jake seems to be almost too good to be true, goody two-shoes, cliche character. It's making him seem very two-dimensional, very much a flat character, just kind of the innocent, blonde hair, blue-eyed, pining for the heroine.
Well, you know, in most cases, we have the superhero being the male, and in this case, our lead character is a female, so maybe what they're doing here, it's the reverse. He's the more kind of ditzy blonde who, you know, is there for our hero and not necessarily being too strong of a character, but, you know, kind of to
compliment
her. Yeah,
but I mean, the reason that, I mean, I understand what you're saying and I agree with you to a certain extent. That's how he's coming across. But again, I kind of have a problem with that. This guy's a homicide detective. You know, you don't get to be, I mean, they're portraying him almost, and it even said the specific words when in the story when he was at the gym, how everybody sees him as this, yo, this totally rad, cool surfer dude from California. You can't be that way and get to be a homicide detective in New York. It just doesn't work. So, I mean, maybe I'm just seeing him the way everyone else sees him. I haven't been given enough to really get into, but there's something that happens later in this issue that gives me some hope. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So continue with the synopsis here. We see Sarah leaves the funeral. She decides she's offered a ride from her captain. She decides to walk. She stops in at a bakery, have some coffee, and lo and behold, who shows up? Like a bad penny? Kenneth Irons, finally giving her that cup of coffee that he's been promising her. But he sits down with her and immediately mentions the Witchblade. Yes, how has the Witchblade been treating you? Sarah, surprised that he knows about it, but at the same time, not surprised enough, in my mind. I would have demanded, had I been in the situation, Sarah's in, I would have demanded answers right then. I certainly would not trust him enough to get in a cab with him.
Well, we saw the page before. She's going through a lot. She's got a lot going through her mind. I mean, the death of her partner. She even mentions her rent hasn't been paid, the dreams she's been having.
True.
The Witchblade's attached to her. I mean, what happened...
So you're thinking she's not thinking straight.
Yeah, I'm thinking she's a little confused, and she's looking for any shoulder kind of to...
Well, again, I speculated on this before. Perhaps part of Iron's powers is some kind of emotional or mental manipulation. Because when she... Right before she went to sleep on Jake's bed, she even mentioned how has this guy gotten under my skin so fast? This normally doesn't happen to me. I can't stop thinking about him. And then here, she's so trusting of him right away. And we also see that at the bottom of the page there, that Jake had followed her as well. And he sees Kenneth Irons and Sarah getting into a cab. And he remarks, what are you getting yourself into?
Well, at this point, she's definitely very vulnerable. And obviously, he knows that. Because he knows exactly what's going on. So, I mean, he's going to take every psychological advantage you can. And I mean, with her partner gone and her really not having too much of a family, she doesn't have much to turn to. But yeah, you're right. Even in that situation, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, she's a homicide detective. Yeah. Something would be going off. Something's not right with this guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. With as smart as she was portrayed in the beginning,
yeah,
you know, alarms should have been going off, but...
Exactly.
I guess not.
We turn the page, we see Lisa is very excited about her burgeoning modeling career, heading to Sarah's apartment to tell her the news. Meanwhile, someone's attempting to pick the lock of Sarah's apartment, and we meet Sarah's sister, Julie Pizzini. Just flew in from Hollywood. She seems quite the ditz. Typical cliched model, throws her purse down, immediately heads for the booze, finds a bottle of Absolut Vodka, pours some vodka on the rocks for both herself and Lisa, learns that Lisa is soon to be modeling for the Boucher modeling agency, says, hey, let's go right over there and pay them a visit. Maybe I can help your career. I am in the know. Immediately contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Yeah, I now see how she's going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, we go to the next page, and we see that Central Park West, 2:20 p.m., the home of Kenneth Irons. And this is where we start to learn a lot about Irons, although I will say how much of this is true is yet to be determined.
You know, also another thing, for 2:20 p.m., I think the colors are a little wrong.
Yeah, it does look more like sunset.
Yeah, it looks more like 5:20, 6:20, depending on the time of the year. You know, yeah, you're right. You know, who knows how much of this is actually true, but at the same time, it's kind of refreshing to finally get
something.
You know, something about the Witchblade instead of just, it has some sort of powers. We're still not sure what it is. It has some sort of blade on it. We know it can, you know, almost in a dart form, go at people. And obviously it has some regenerative powers, but it's nice to see that, to read, you know, maybe a little bit more on it.
Yeah. So another interesting thing too, in these next few pages, we have the dialogue. The word balloons of Kenneth Irons as he's explaining to Sarah, but then we also have his thoughts in these boxes. He remarks that it's happening, even though he's gone over this in his mind thousands of times. He can't believe it's really happening. It's exhilarating. He wishes he could tell her the plan, but it's not yet the time.
He's very excited.
The hell with explanations, he thinks. The Witchblade is so close. Why not just do it? No, savor the moment. They'll share a lifetime together, he and the Witchblade. Meanwhile, he's telling Sarah that his father was a professor of archaeology at the University of Cairo, uncovered many rare artifacts, first learned the name of the Witchblade. They believe it to be extraterrestrial in nature, not supernatural. However, it's been connected to a number of historic events where the supernatural occurred. To be honest, they don't really know where it comes from. His father died in a cave accident that I have a feeling wasn't an accident. And he eventually found the Witchblade in Greece. Again, don't know how much truth there is to that. He's collected many artifacts and documents that suggest he's right, but doesn't know 100% for sure. Then he shows Sarah his inner sanctum with artifacts and other people he believes were wielders of the Witchblade at one time, including Joan of Arc. He's talking about these people. Meanwhile, Sarah remarks how incredible this is. And immediately we get a glimpse into, once again, the evilness of Irons. No, she ruined the moment. Irons wishes he could hit her for desecrating this room with meaningless chatter, but striking her would be counterproductive.
I'm not gonna necessarily say it's evil, it just kind of...
Arrogant.
It's arrogant, and we kind of get a level of his obsession, because, I mean, he has a plan, and obviously he's really excited about going through with it, but when she's asking questions, he's kind of sidetracked by, why do you even care about that? Like, you not appreciate this room? Yeah. Look at all the things that the Witchblade has done through history, and why are we even talking about anything else?
Yeah, he cares nothing for Sarah.
Definitely not.
And if you notice, I don't know if you notice when you're reading, because I don't know how familiar, that's the spawn mask there, behind what looks to be a redhead wearing the Witchblade with a spear, and there's like a shield or a buckler behind her. Definitely very Spanish.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I completely missed that.
So we know early on in the Top Cow chronology, we'll be covering the Witchblade Medieval Spawn 3-issue crossover. So I have a feeling that perhaps that's the wielder of the Witchblade that teamed up with Medieval Spawn at one point. We also learn in the exposition from Irons in this room that Nottingham used to be a co-worker of his. They both were versed in the Witchblade. Irons claims he wanted to find the rightful owner and educate them. Nottingham simply wanted to use the power for his own selfish purposes. He's recently here from the British Isles, and I've been watching him carefully. He claims that the tournament at the Rialto was of Nottingham's design rather than his own, and he trailed Pizzini, Sarah, from there. He could only do so much damage, and he couldn't let her get hurt, so he intervened at Liberty Island. We also see that peeking through a crack in the door, Nottingham's actually listening to this conversation. How much he knows what Irons has planned, we ourselves don't know. Irons claims that the Witchblade only has one owner over a given period of time, and anyone else who tries to possess it shall perish. Thus, what happened at the Rialto. He says, Sarah, whether you like it or not, you are a changed person. It's up to you to decide whether this is the life you want to lead. I can help you deal with it or help you remove it. I will abide by any decision you choose. And to himself thinks, yes, I will, as long as it's the right one. Oh, if only this coarse policewoman could truly enjoy what is happening. They could laugh and share a cognac before they begin the procedure. So, is he gonna, like, cut her arm off and graft it onto himself?
I don't know. But he does they do a really good job at keeping me very interested.
Yeah, it's interesting. When he looks at her, he looks, you know, great Michael Turner art, the handsome, dapper businessman, but when she turns her back, I mean, that look on his face is, yeah, quite menacing. Then he gets a page. Once again, this comic shows its time, being from the 90s. And says he has a meeting he must attend. My doorman will show you the door. And then we are in the subway where the young model was killed in the previous issue. Jake is investigating. While he's investigating, he's confronted by a reporter named Becca. She works for Channel 81, WGOR. She's actually schooling Jake. She knows much more than the cops at this point about the microwave killer. But Jake seems very interested. He says he's investigating. Please continue. Tell me more. This gives me hope that Jake is perhaps not the ditzy blonde we've been led to believe. But that's
He has to have some intuitive detective skill to have that position.
I would hope so. Yeah, I hope we see Jake fleshed out more as a character.
Yeah, a little bit stronger appearances in the near future, maybe.
Hopefully. But that'll keep for another day. We see that outside of the building, Sarah and Irons are saying their farewells. Sarah says she's going to walk through the park. She hears a noise. First, she doesn't think it's anybody. Then she says, no, it's someone. She pulls out her gun. She sees it's him. It's Ian Nottingham. He's charging toward her. She shoots him several times in the chest, but doesn't really seem to faze him much. He says, don't fight me. Meanwhile, Sarah's looking at the bracelet that is the Witchblade, saying, work, God, please do something. And Nottingham says, a dirty fighter, I like that. But if you run, you will leave me no choice. They have a brief skirmish. Nottingham manages to get the upper hand, pins her down, and says, Miss Pizzini, I just want to talk. And the issue ends. So again, Nottingham, a very interesting character. Now, with Irons being fleshed out a little bit of his backstory, or what could be his backstory according to him, anyway, Nottingham is by far the most mysterious character.
You notice he caught those bullets, right?
Oh, he caught them? No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. See that. Yes, missed that before. Yeah, so she thought that... She believed she had shot him in the chest, but he pulled his bullet-catching trick once again. Yeah, no, I totally missed those three bullets dropping from his hand.
Also,
I just figured they bounced off or didn't, you know, he's a super-fast healer. He does have the power from the Witchblade. We've seen Sarah be shot four times and heal just like that.
Yeah, no, I just noticed it because there was way too much attention on her, on his hand.
I thought they were just showing the brand.
Oh.
I just figured I can't not see it now that you say that. Yeah, we see the three bullets dropping from his hand, so he caught him, yeah.
Yeah, another thing you did not mention that I thought was pretty important is back when Jake's talking to the reporter, she's found out that Mr. Nottingham is involved in the killings because apparently she's been talking to some homeless people who have been paid off. So Jake might go after Nottingham pretty soon, because that's the only lead he has at this point.
Yeah, scary guy looming around the place. Hadn't even been open for business, had to get remodeled. They were all too freaked out by this guy. They call him Mr. Nottingham. The rumor with the homeless around is that he paid off the cops to turn their backs. You hear me? Paid them off. We don't know anything about that. The only one cop that we know to be dirty or suspect to be dirty so far is the internal affairs Selzer.
Yeah.
Jerk face guy. So, but I mean, it does seem strange that there hasn't been any investigation. I would just chalk that up to being all the guys that got killed were a bunch of mob guys and criminals, so they don't really care. It doesn't really seem that strange. Even today, if that happened, I don't know that it raised a lot of...
But what she was bringing to point is that, look, it was an abandoned theater, and it was completely remodeled. And all these people are dead inside of it. Nobody finds that weird. But, I guess Jake did. Well, not even. He was investigating the subway killing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he's not assigned... This is his case. He's not assigned to the Rialto case.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, as Manny said, a very enjoyable issue. An issue with very little action, just a little bit of a fight between Sarah and Nottingham at the end. but definitely tons of characterization. I feel like this issue moved the plot and story along more so than any issue up until this point. So we've got two issues left to go in the first volume of Witchblade. Then we'll head to the start of the Top Cow Chronology Project. So you still have time to go pick up those issues if you want to follow along. Join us next time when we cover issue 7 of Witchblade.
So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. You can drop us an email at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can contact us through our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. So Manny and I had a great time this last weekend at the Long Beach Comic Expo. And look for coverage coming up in our next episode. We'll talk to you then.